Hello, everyone, again today, and welcome to the podcast on May the 5th, 2021. I'm Joanne, so happy to be here with you, and got an exciting word to share with you. It was kind of born out of something that took place last night. I've been reading the book of 1 Samuel. I try to read that one every year, that and 2 Samuel, and somehow I missed it in 2020. Imagine that. But I'm catching up, reading it now. And last night I was in 1 Samuel 17, which is the story of David and Goliath. It is a story that has resounded through the ages, the centuries, of what victory looks like. And this chapter speaks so much to me about identity. I'm even sensing the Lord this morning talking about identity. And guess what? It's going to happen through this chapter where we're going to talk about our spiritual identity that God has given to us. As I was reading this passage last night, the Lord spoke to me clearly and said, the battle was arranged, you know, between the Israelite army and the Philistines for David to come in and be victorious. It was like a divine setup, this moment for David. And how often do we look at the battles or the struggles or the obstacles as things that are happening to us rather than God orchestrating these things to bring about a victory and to use David in this particular story in such a mighty way? Because if you think about it, David ushered in the Spirit of God. He ushered in the presence of God between two enemies. I'd never seen it this way. You think of the Philistine army as being the enemy. They represented evil, the figures and the numbers given to the weight of Goliath's armor. Some translations say 6, 5, and 6, but other translations, it is 6, 6, and 6. So it tells us clearly that this is a fight against evil. It's a fight against the devil. Goliath represented the devil, breathing his thoughts, his taunts, and his threats. But there was another enemy at work on the other hill, and it was this apathetic, this lazy attitude of the Israelite army and the lie that they were under because they did not know who they were. And so David then comes in between these two evils, these two battles, and he displays the victory of God. He displays what true identity looks like. Glory to God. So this is what we're looking at. Identity. I believe God wants us to have a perspective shift about who we are and what we have been called to do. You've heard this phrase, well, I'm doing okay under the circumstances. And then the comeback is, well, what are you doing under your circumstances? New Testament truth. It says that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. He raised us up and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Yeah, the new covenant also says that he has been given the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, and he's placed all things under his feet. So if Jesus, we see him seated at the right hand of the Father, exalted on his throne in heaven, with all principalities and powers, everything is under his feet. He has all authority. But then Ephesians 2:6, it says he has raised us up and seated us with him, past tense, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Therefore, that means all things are under our feet as well, in him. All right, so Romans chapter 6, verse 5, it tells us that we have been united with Jesus in his death and in his burial and his resurrection. So we have been joined to Jesus, and he has to position us with him. He had to, otherwise we couldn't be victorious over our enemies. And the truth is, Jesus was victorious, and we identify with his victory. Amen. David saw himself this way. David knew who he was. I mean, he had fought the lions and the bears and been victorious. And I think it is Pastor Bill Johnson that says, if you fight your lions and your bears in private, God will let you fight a giant publicly. And that was exactly what happened to David. I also heard the Lord saying today, life doesn't happen to you. You're supposed to happen to it. In other words, we're not supposed to be a victim of these things that we encounter. We're actually supposed to happen to the obstacles, okay? Bearing the name of Jesus, the power and authority of God. I think a lot about Genesis chapter 1 through 3, when God created Adam and Eve. And the mandate that he gave to them was, you go happen to the world, okay? He said, be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth and take dominion. From the beginning, and this is part of our identity, from the beginning, God's creation was designed to take dominion over the earth, okay? To bring heaven to earth, to redeem the things that were out of order and in chaos and redeem those things back to God. That's who we are. That's what we've been created to do. The mandate has not changed because Jesus himself said, go. All authority has been given to me, therefore you go. Okay, so the mandate is still the same. Identity, 1 Samuel 17. And I'm looking for this verse. It's hidden from me. Because David showed up, his father sent him to the battle line. And here comes Goliath. Every day for 40 days, he would come out and he would threaten the armies of Israel. And one of the things that David said, or I'm sorry, that Goliath said, he says, am I not, here it is. Man, that is just really hiding from me. Here it is. He said, you know why it's hidden? It's because the highlighter is in the wrong place. Here it is. Okay. Verse 8, I apologize for the delay. Goliath stood up and came out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Well, right there, the enemy was trying to define the identity of the army of God by saying, you're just a servant of Saul. Well, I'll tell you what. When you identify yourself with a man, particularly a man who is not fighting the battle God gave him to, I mean, that's a very limiting perspective that we place on ourselves. We don't want to identify with a King Saul that is not walking by the Spirit of God. But if we identify ourselves with God and that we are servants of God, then all of a sudden we have access to the resurrection power and life that Jesus paid for. So David didn't get his identity from a King Saul. He got his identity from God. Where did David get this identity? Well, he didn't get it from his dad, because if you remember, when Samuel came to anoint one of his sons, David wasn't even invited to the sacrifice. They had to go retrieve him. And so his dad really didn't even believe that he was capable. I mean, he was just the kid. David definitely didn't get his identity from his brothers, because his brothers were older than him. You know, they were condescending toward David. But David got his identity alone, back in the sheepfold, spending time alone with God, being a shepherd. And this is a really important point in developing identity, is that there are no shortcuts to it. It comes from spending time alone with God in the secret place, one-on-one. There are things that are grown with us in our private time with God that will grow no other way. It's like I said, there are no shortcuts to the process. And God said this today, until you know God personally, you cannot know yourself. Because as we see him, as we come to know him in that time alone with him, that is when we will know what we are like. Because guess what? The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Okay? Our tree is God, and we are his offspring. Okay? So we've been made like him. Here's another place where someone tried to put a false identity on David. You know, he came to King Saul and he offered to kill the giant. And this is what King Saul said to him. You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight with him, for you are just a youth. And he's been a man of war from his youth. Here. King Saul is trying to define David by saying, you're limited, you are not able, you're inadequate, you're inexperienced, you're only a kid. Well, thankfully, David knew who he was, and he answered back. I love his words. He says, I used to keep my father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear took a lamb out of the flock and went out after it, I tracked it down, I struck it, and I delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose up against me, I grabbed it by the beard and I clubbed it to death. So, I mean, David was not going to let even King Saul define him. And so then what does King Saul do? He says, okay, I'll define you like me. And he tries to put his armor on David. Well, guess what? David knew who he was. He knew he could not use someone else's weapons of war. And the same thing is true for us. We have to be ourselves. We have to use the gifts and the uniqueness that God has given us to fight the battles that we've been called to fight. We can't try to imitate what someone else is doing. And so what does it say that David did? It said that David had his staff in his hand, and he went down to the brook, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag in the pouch that he had, and the sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. So there again, this is all about identity, knowing how God has equipped us and made us, and how we use the gifts and the talents that he has given to us to fight the battles. We don't use someone else's model or their armor. So David also had some brothers that tried to define him in this battle. So let's look at the conversation with the brother Eliab, the oldest brother, probably very tall, very good looking. And so here comes David wanting to know what will be done for the man who kills Goliath. This is found in verse 28. It says, now when Eliab, his older brother, heard what David spoke to the men, Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have just come down to see the battle. Really? Okay. Eliab was angry. You notice that anytime someone is doing something for the Lord, it makes people who were doing nothing angry. There was a mantra I used to use a long time ago that said, I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it. And I think even the Lord felt this way at this point, because here you have the Israelite army and King Saul, as I said, sitting on their blessed assurance and not really doing anything. And God certainly liked David's way of doing it better than their way of not doing it. What else did Eliab say? He said, why did you come down here, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? In other words, David, go back to being small. Get back to the sheep pasture where you're not visible, where no one sees you. Well, guess what? Part of our identity as God is we are called to be heard and we are called to be seen. Okay. We're not supposed to be isolated and left, you know, just be small. I don't know if you know what tall poppy syndrome is. It's actually when one poppy tries to grow up taller than the rest, someone comes along and cuts the head off so that everyone is all the same. And that's not the way it is in the kingdom. Occasionally, there will be someone that rises up and does something great. And we're not supposed to cut their head off. Okay. We're supposed to listen to the Spirit of God and recognize when God wants to take down a giant through someone. What else did Eliab say? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. Okay. He's accusing him. He's accusing his motives. You're just trying to make a show of yourself. You're being disrespectful. And then he said this, for you've just come down to see the battle. Really, Eliab, what are you doing in the battle? You're just standing there watching it yourself. And, you know, people will often make accusations based on their own guilt in the matter. But what did David do? He did not receive any of those words. And he spoke like this. What have I done now? Is there not a cause? Yes, there is a cause, because when David spoke to Goliath, that's his next obstacle. He says, you have defied the armies of the living God. And David knew that that wasn't the position, that wasn't the identity of God's army. They hadn't figured it out yet, but David had. All right, so what did Goliath say? Well, Goliath had his crack at the bat, you know, just trying to define David. What did he say? It says that when he saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? I guess he was calling David a stick. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beast of the field. What was this Goliath trying to do? Defining David? It's basically saying, you're dead. You're going to die. I will kill you. And you know what? David, he didn't listen to any of that. He said, you come to me with sword, spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and cut off your head. Well, David basically took the threats of Goliath and turned it right back on him. And I think this is a real clue. It's a real key for us in fighting battles. Whatever it is that the enemy is threatening us with or saying to us, we need to turn those words right back around and prophesy the enemy's destruction. And that is exactly what God will do. So David knew who he was. He was an expert marksman with a slingshot. He had been anointed king. David knew where he belonged. You know, he knew he belonged in the palace, on the throne. He wasn't belonging back with the sheep in the back of the pasture, but he belonged in the battle. And, you know, this speaks of being in community in battle. You know, no lone rangers, all right? David, yeah, he fought some lion and bears in private, but it was preparation for fighting alongside the army and with the army and leading the army, okay? David knew where he was going. He knew he was headed for the palace. Of course, it took quite a few years to get there. But one other thing about identity, which is kind of funny in this chapter, it says that Saul was finally asking, who is this? It says, when Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. So the king said, inquire whose son this young man is. Of course, David's answer was, I am the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. You go back to the beginning of the chapter, verse 12, and it says, David was the son of that Ephrathite, Jesse of Bethlehem, Judea. And that Ephrathite means fruitfulness. So here you can you just see King Saul and Abner, his commander, just standing under the tree, kind of with their arms folded across their chest, and watching a kid outdo them. Watching this kid come up to the battle lines is like, is this kid really going to do this? And he does it. And King Saul says, whose kid is this? But he has to know, where are you coming from? Who are you? And I believe that when we know our identity, when we display the works of God, people are going to ask, who are you? Whose are you? And that gives us the opportunity to say, I belong to God. I belong to Jesus Christ, and He alone is my victory. Okay. So identity, it's all through this chapter, 1 Samuel 17. There's so many things that we can learn about David, probably even more than I've even covered. But God wants you to have a perspective shift and see who you are, that you're not a victim of the things that happen to you. You have been sent to happen to the kingdom of darkness, okay? And so go in the peace and the authority that Jesus gives you. Be victorious in Jesus' name. I will talk to you again. Until next time.